Thank you, Jerry. Joe, we will talk to you tomorrow. Big night for the Blue Jays as they beat the Philadelphia Phillies by a score of 8-2. They are back at 500. They are two games out of the wild card, third in the American League East as they leapfrog over the Tampa Bay Rays. But the Baltimore Orioles won tonight 2-0, so the Orioles are just one game back of the Twins for that second wild card in the American League. The Yankees are currently losing 4-2 to the Texas Rangers. They're into the top of the sixth inning in Texas. Of course, the Yankees did score 21 runs yesterday, so a 4-2 deficit really doesn't seem like all that much. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. And while Troy Tulowitzki very definitely was our player of the game, of course, R.A. Dickey pitched a heck of a ball game. He gave up no earned runs over eight innings. He has an ERA of 2.96 over his last 11 starts, and he has really dialed it in since the end of May. I got a couple of tweets reminding me to give Dickey his due today, which I find hilarious because of all the calls and tweets I got about R.A. Dickey over the first 2.5 months of this season. Dickey has been a very, very reliable pitcher for this team. He has been the best starting pitcher on the Blue Jays since he got here. And again, he's kicked it into high gear since the end of May. It has been a very busy night on the Major League Baseball trade market, so much so that the widely used website, MLB Trade Rumors, has crashed because of overuse. But I'll fill you in on what's going on. The New York Mets are picking up Carlos Gomez pending physicals, one of the best center fielders in the game, and a big bat that the Mets need badly. They're going to trade Zach Wheeler, young right-hander who is out for the year with Tommy John surgery, and infielder Wilmer Flores. What's amazing is that Wilmer Flores is still in the game for the New York Mets right now as they trail San Diego 7-2 in the top of the eighth playing shortstop. Flores has been crying on the field. Word has gotten down to him that he's been traded, and yet the Mets have left him in the game. The Brewers are tweeting pictures from their team flight of them giving a goodbye party to Carlos Gomez, and Wilmer Flores is still in the game, amazingly, for the New York Mets. The Los Angeles Dodgers, Miami Marlins, and Atlanta Braves are working on a three-way deal that will see Matt Latos, Alex Wood, Jim Johnson, and Jose Peraza going to Los Angeles. Cuban prospect Hector Olivera is also involved in the deal going to Atlanta. We don't know many of the other details. Hasn't come out yet. And the latest Cole Hamels rumor has him most likely headed to the Texas Rangers. Things are going to get a lot more fun over the next 42 hours leading up to the non-waiver trade deadline. And we imagine that the Blue Jays will certainly be involved. Maybe not for the big ones, though there are rumors tonight that the Blue Jays are in conversation about David Price. And we'll see about that. I wouldn't bet the house on that. But I do think the Blue Jays are working very hard to acquire starting pitching and maybe even to shore up left field. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Let's start things off with Yaz in St. Mary's. Your leadoff man, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Mike. Wow, what a fantastic offensive lineup we've got now.
Yeah, this is a really good hitting team.
This definitely can go up against the Yankees right now on their hot streak.
It can. The difference is that, you know, they have 7.5 games to make up. But so they have to not just be better than the Yankees, they have to be a lot better than the Yankees.
Well, they have to take 8 of the 13 we play against the Yankees.
At least.
They might
to take 10.
I would love 10. My question is, if every couch potato in Blue Jays land knows that we need a starting pitcher,
yes,
and the managers around baseball know that the Blue Jays need starting pitchers,
yes,
and watching what the starting pitchers have been going for other teams in terms of prospects,
yes,
How much more do you think they're asking Anthopoulos to give up?
I don't think they're asking more for Alex Anthopoulos. I think that there's this idea out there that because everybody knows the Blue Jays are desperate for pitching, teams are going to really try to hold the Blue Jays up. And there's some truth to that, I'm sure, but it doesn't mean that they're going to be asking the Blue Jays for a ton and then, if they don't get it, take a lot less from another team. They would very obviously, you know, if the Blue Jays offer, if the ask of the Blue Jays is at 100, they're not going to take a 60 offer without coming back to the Blue Jays looking for a 70.
Do you think we could have made a better deal for Cueto than what Cueto got?
Sure they could have, but I don't think it would have been smart.
Hmm.
You're getting Johnny Cueto for 11 starts for 2 months. You're... Right now, well, you're at the time, you're 3 games out of a playoff spot, now 2 games out of a playoff spot, way back of the division lead, even though you have all those games against the New York Yankees. Is it worth trading Daniel Norris, Jeff Hoffman, Dalton Pompey
but
for
knowing that you got
a good shot at a coin flip game? I don't think it is.
But if you know you've got Tulowitzki, that now changes your whole dynamic in the offense.
Well, they didn't know they had Tulowitzki until Monday night, and Cueto was traded on the weekend.
I understand that.
Yeah, I mean, that means something, right? And even if you do know you've got Tulowitzki, and you're right, it does change the dynamic. This team is much better now than it was when most people went to sleep on Monday night. You still have a huge, huge deficit to make up in the division. It's not impossible, but it's far from probable. And to give up 12 years of, let's say, Daniel Norris and Anthony Alford for a coin flip game? Don't you think that's a lot?
It is. There is no doubt there. But we have done that before, right, where we've been this far
behind. No, they have not done that before.
No, in terms of being this far back and coming back in the next 2 months to get there, to get close. No?
No, I don't think so. When are you talking about?
No, I'm wrong.
Yeah, no. No, I mean, it could happen. It could. And I think the Blue Jays are going to add starting pitching, but I don't think they're going to add, you know, David Price, Johnny Cueto level starting pitching simply because they're too far back in the division. You know, the Royals can give up Brandon Finnegan and two other very, very good minor league pitchers for 2 months Johnny Cueto because the Royals have the best record in the league. They were in the World Series last year. They're going to make the playoffs. I mean, the Royals have probably a 95% chance of making the playoffs, and I'm not talking about those stupid odds that you see on the standings. They have about a 95% chance of being in the playoffs, so they can afford to do that. They can take their shot. The Blue Jays certainly do not have that kind of a chance of winning a division. They have a good chance, I think, of being in a wild card. I think they're the best team. I think you could argue that they're the best team in the league right now with the Troy Tulowitzki addition, depending on, we'll see what happens with Devin Travis and Edwin Encarnacion as far as their injuries are concerned. So I think they have a very, very good shot at a wild card. What I don't think is that they have a very good shot at a division. And so it's not worth making that move. Oh, and the stupid playoff predictor thing says the Royals have a 99.2% chance of being in the postseason. But, yeah, I'm going to say 95. But yeah, I think that's why they're not going after these rentals, because the price is very, very high, and the team's just not in a position where it's worth parting with that kind of stuff for a guy who's here for 2 months and then leaves for nothing. I'm sure there's a chance he pitches that wild card game for you, wins it, then you're in the playoffs, and you do what the Royals and the Giants did last year. But the chance is not high of that. The chance is high that the Royals are going to be past that wild card game. They have a 9-game lead right now in the AL Central. And the team that's chasing them, the Minnesota Twins, is a little smoky and a little mirrory. And it looks like the Tigers may be in give-up mode. Tom in Orillia, you're up next.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
All right, thank you.
Awesome. You and Blair kick ass. But anyways, did you see what I saw tonight when They were sitting on the bench. The looks on their face. It wasn't about high fives. It wasn't about dances or celebrations. It was about baseball. Did you see that?
I didn't see that. And to be honest with you, I know this is really important to a lot of people. I don't care about that.
Yeah?
No.
Okay.
You should be happy when
you hit
home
runs. It looked like there was a semblance of camaraderie together, where all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute, we don't have our spark, but we do have what we have. You know, and we've got something important. You know,
yeah,
you not see that?
No, and you know what? And even if it did happen, I'm not willing to try to read the minds of people who are, you know, they're a couple hundred feet away from me. I don't know how many miles away from you they are. I think you get into very, very dangerous territory. Look, nobody in that room is happy that Jose Reyes is gone, and everybody in that room is thrilled that Troy Tulowitzki is here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it comes down to. And there's not going to be this whole widespread culture and attitude change because Reyes is gone. This is a team that's still going to have fun. They still enjoy themselves. When they do good things, they're happy about it, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I understand. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate the call. We will get to more of your calls as we continue with Jay's Talk. But first, let's listen to the skipper. It's brief. I'm assuming a very happy John Gibbons as the Blue Jays beat the Phillies tonight, 8-2. Troy Tulowitzki, 2 doubles and a homer, 3 RBIs and 3 runs scored in the first ever game as a leadoff man in his big league career and his first game with the Blue Jays. Here's what John Gibbons had to say.
Gibby, how was the debut?
Well, so, hey, some guys do things with style, you know. And, I don't think it could have gone any better, really. I mean, nice play defensively early, and then, of course, 2 doubles and a home run. Yeah, some guys have that knack. I thought it was tremendous, the ovation he got when he stepped into the box. You know, that was classy, and he responded. And, you know, he looked good out there. On both sides of the ball, he looked really good. But he is really good.
Just a comment, perhaps, about Edwin, the jamming of a finger. Where is his prognosis tomorrow or going?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, he did something to BP. He did something to his finger. It was a little bit swollen. So we'll see. We'll see where that goes. I don't think it's a big deal, but it's tender right now.
Dickie gave you some length tonight. You know, 8 solid innings. The 2 runs at the end were pretty soft ones. I mean, what did you think of his night?
Well, I thought tonight was one of his better ones of the year. But, you know, he's been on a nice little roll. The other day in Oakland, he was really good. And in all fairness to him, you know, he's pitched better than his record indicates. But, yeah, I mean, lately he's been in a nice little groove. You know, I think there's, I don't know, maybe the heat had something to do with it tonight. I don't know. But, you know, there's more life to his knuckleball. But I saw that, too, out in Oakland the other day. So, you know, I think, you know, it's all coming together for him at the perfect time.
Certainly the perfect time for the Blue Jays, who've been dying for some solid starting pitching, and they're getting it from R.A. Dickey, who has a 2.96 ERA over his last 11 starts. And over those last 11 starts, he is 5-6. Finally getting a little run support today as the Blue Jays beat the Phillies 8-2. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Jays Talk. We're taking your calls. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Apparently now the Phillies and Rangers are very close to a trade that would send Cole Hamels to Texas. The Rangers are 5 games under 500, 8 games back in the AL West, and 4.5 games behind the Twins for that second wild card spot. But again, Cole Hamels is a lot more than a this year only proposition. Back to the phones we go. Eddie is in Toronto, listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Eddie, welcome to Jay's
Talk. Hi, Mike. Hi, hello. Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you.
I was just coming from the game tonight, and I'll tell you, I was seeing all the love for Troy Tulowitzki. I wonder if Josh Donaldson is feeling a bit like Cowboy Woody when the day Buzz Lightyear came to town.
It's possible, I guess, but I think Josh Donaldson is just fine, thank you.
But anyway, I'll tell you. First of all, I apologize if you talked about this ad nauseum last night. I wasn't able to listen last night. But this may seem ridiculous after tonight's game, but I just don't understand the trade. I mean, the Blue Jays need pitching. And sure, Troy Tulowitzki is going to make them better, has made them better already. But so instead of winning games, I don't know, 8-2, they'll win 10-2 or 12-2. But what's going to happen in the games where they're winning 4-3 in the seventh and they need to hold on to the lead?
Well, maybe they'll be winning 6-3 in the seventh instead. You know, the whole thing about the baseball is you win by scoring more runs than the other team. And how you do that, how you wind up with more runs than the other team, can be done in a variety of ways. It can be by run prevention or by run creation. And the Blue Jays, with Troy Tulowitzki here, have certainly improved their ability to create runs. They've also improved their ability to prevent runs by switching a shortstop who's probably a 30 out of 100 for a shortstop who's about an 85 out of 100 on a defensive scale, which is going to help them a lot. It's not to say that they're not still looking for pitching, and it's not to say that they don't want to improve the rotation. And if you believe Bob Elliott of the Toronto Sun, and he's in the Hall of Fame, I mean, he's probably a guy that you want to believe, the Blue Jays made a good, strong offer to try to get Carlos Carrasco using Jeff Hoffman. They were rebuffed, so they turned around and they used Jeff Hoffman to get Troy Tulowitzki. For me, if you're able to acquire the best player in baseball at his position, whether it's a position where you have a crying need or not, you do it, just like they did with Josh Donaldson in the offseason.
Yeah, I think there is a time when it's appropriate to get a rental. And the Blue Jays have done it a couple times. They did it with Ricky Henderson, and they did it with David Cone.
Very different situations, don't you think?
Yeah, but, I mean, every situation is different. Let's say Johnny Cueto comes over here.
But honestly, let's deal with this first. First of all, I don't disagree that there are times when you need to get a rental. But there are times also when you don't need to give up the farm for a rental, which is kind of where the Blue Jays are now. But let's look back at those 1992 Blue Jays when they traded for David Cone in the middle of August, okay?
Yeah.
This was a team that had been in the playoffs two of the last 3 years, in 89 and in 91. They missed by two games in 1990. So this is a perennial contender that's been there to the last day of the season 3 days in a row and has been in the playoffs twice. And in fact, you know, you go back even farther, from 1985 to 1991, the Blue Jays never missed the playoffs by more than two games. So now you're in 1992. You're in the middle of August. You're in first place already. You have the lead in the division. And here's a guy who's going to put you over the top? Absolutely. Then you're in the same situation like the Kansas City Royals are right now, where you do give up something really, really good to bring in a rental. Same thing in 1993 when they brought in Ricky Henderson. And to the Tulo point, they needed pitching really badly in 1993. They tried to get Randy Johnson. They couldn't, so they got Ricky Henderson. So those are teams that are in a great position to have a rental for a very expensive future cost be really, really, really meaningful. The Blue Jays are not in that position right now.
Well, let's say they had gotten a Johnny Cueto for 11 wins. Let's say he helped them make the playoffs.
For 11 starts, not 11 wins.
Well, it could be 11 wins, but 11 starts. Let's say he helped them make the playoffs.
Okay.
Do you not think it's possible that he looks around, he sees Josh Donaldson, he sees Bautista?
You cannot even consider that. That is pure fantasy. You cannot consider that. When you're making a trade and giving up your best young kids, you can't say, well, we hope he's going to stick around as a free agent. It cannot enter into your mind.
I just think for a top pitcher, they're close. And with that offense, they don't need a lot of pitching to get them over. They need a bit, though. And I just think they're that close that maybe it's worthwhile.
Okay. As I've said, I don't. And I've enumerated the reasons for that. I still think that they don't, like you said, they don't need a lot of pitching. And they can get better pitching than they have right now by not giving up those guys and be a lot better this year. Appreciate the call. All right, I said every year since 1985, the Blue Jays never miss the playoffs by two games. I'm sorry, every year since 1987, they never miss the playoffs by more than two games. In 86, they won 86 games, and they still finished 9.5 games back of the Red Sox. So from 1985 to 1993, 8 out of 9 seasons, they either won the division or finished 2 games back or fewer. My apologies. Troy Tulowitzki, 3 for 5, 2 doubles, a homer. First Blue Jay, I hate to say this, first Blue Jay since J.P. Arencibia with 3 extra base hits in his Blue Jays debut. Yes, Tulowitzki's career has already gone much, much, much better than J.P.'s did. Arash Madani caught up with Tulo right after the game. Let's listen to that conversation.
Troy, you said this afternoon you were nervous and anxious before this game. When did it become normal for you as another baseball game?
I ran out there on the field playing the game I love to play. Man, it was fun. Got to win. That's what I came here to do.
You never know what kind of reaction you're going to get. A standing ovation before your first at-bat?
Yeah, that was cool. Obviously, the fans are great. That was neat. I think it made my bat a little bit tougher, but it's okay.
You also never know how it's going to be acclimatizing in a new environment regardless. The fact that you had the home run and a couple of doubles, how much does that help you just get the first one out of the way?
Yeah, it's nice. It's a tough game. When you get hits, you'll take them anytime you can get them. It was nice to actually put us on the board, actually, and get us a lead and let RA do his thing.
They were showing the broadcast back in 2007. You had a couple of home runs and back-to-back games in this dome. How long does it get do you get a feel for this environment that's especially a hitter's park?
I heard good things about this ballpark. I don't know. I just try to put together good at-bats, come out here, try to win games. I don't worry about what park I'm hitting in or, you know, put too much into that.
Does it become normal tomorrow?
I hope so. We'll see. Hopefully we get another win. That's all. That's what it's about.
Troy, thanks.
All right.
There's Troy Tulowitzki and Arash Madani on the field afterwards. The Blue Jays, an 8-2 win over the Philadelphia Phillies. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Jays Talk. Back to the phones we go. Where are we going? We are going to... We are holding on a second here. So I'll let you know that the Blue Jays out-hit the Phillies 16-7. R.A. Dickey, no earned runs over 8 strong innings. He has a 2.96 ERA over his last 11 starts. Matt is in Richmond Hill. Matt, welcome to the program. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Mike. I couldn't agree with you more. I think we've got to calm down some of these fans. I'm not going to dictate everything here, but I mean, over the last 3 years, Syndergaard, Nicolino, Alvarez, Nolan, Castro, Hoffman, I mean, God knows how many other young potential future pitchers we've given up. If the goal is, eventually, people say the hardest thing to do is find pitching, what in the world are we doing?
They've got a lot of pitching still.
Now, Morosi is reporting.
Yeah.
That he's a pretty good source, by the way.
He's a very, very good reporter.
All right. He's basically saying that we're giving up we're offering our top two starters for price.
Who that?
Is
Stroman and Sanchez?
No. In the minor leagues.
Norris and who?
Norris and Boyd.
Okay, Matt Boyd's not the number two starter for the Blue Jays.
Plus two other players. Hey, here's my point, Mike. I'll hang up and I'll listen. I don't have a problem with the last trade, Tulowitzki. I'll tell you why, because he's controllable. But I think we've got to be really, really careful here. And, you know, we're fourth in our division going into tonight. We're fighting, in my opinion, really for one playoff spot, like you've done a very good job the last two nights, for a one-game playoff. We have Burley, who's not coming back here, basically. Estrada's a free agent. Dickey, we have an option on. We'll probably exercise it. Who in the world's going to pitch for this team the next 2-3 years?
Well.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. You're welcome. As I wrote on Sportsnet.ca in the wake of the Troy Tulowitzki trade, the Blue Jays still have Marcus Stroman, Aaron Sanchez, Roberto Osuna, Daniel Norris, Sean Reed Foley, Connor Green, Matt Smorl, Alberto Tirado, Jairo Laborde, John Harris, Matt Boyd. So that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Don't you love counting on live radio? 11. 11 good young pitchers that the Blue Jays still have. And it's easy to imagine that if they do trade Daniel Norris, which is a possibility. I don't think it's a strong possibility. But it's a possibility if you get the right guy back. That you have Stroman, Hutchison, Sanchez, Osuna, and Dickey as your starting rotation next year. But I think that if the Blue Jays do trade Norris, they trade him for a controllable pitcher, for someone who will at least be able to be back next year, like an Andrew Cashner or like Mike Fiers. So if you get one of those guys, then all of a sudden your rotation next year starts with Stroman, Sanchez, Hutchison, and one of those guys, and maybe Dickey, and there's nothing wrong with that five-man rotation, especially when you're running out an offense that's got Bautista, Encarnacion, Donaldson, Tulowitzki, Russ Martin, Devin Travis. That's kind of, like, really good. So I don't think that you need to be frightened of that, that the cupboard's going to be bare. I think people forget how many players there are in a minor league system and how many good players there are in the Blue Jays minor league system that are on the way up. They're not running out of talent. The cupboard's not bare. They don't have nothing left after trading all those good young arms. And there have been a lot of good young arms that the Blue Jays have traded. If Mark Burley leaves, the Blue Jays are going to have two first-round picks next year. Replenish that way. Along with all these other guys. But again, as I said to the last caller, I don't think you're giving up your finest meats and cheeses for a rental. Because you're 7.5 games out of first place. According to John Morosi, the Texas Rangers deal with the Phillies is pretty done. And the Rangers, among the players moving, our prospects, Nick Williams, who's their fifth-ranked prospect, according to MLB.com, Jorge Alfaro, who's their sixth, and Jared Eichhoff, who's their 17th, according, again, to MLB.com. And we'll keep our eye on this one. Nothing's official until it's official, and some people are saying it's done, and some people are saying there are a lot of hoops to jump through and things like that. So I'm not sure. Everybody's trying really hard to get scoops. And we saw it with the Tulowitzki trade. We saw it at 1 o'clock in the morning, Monday night, Tuesday morning. A lot of misinformation comes out. There was one very well-placed reporter who said Daniel Norris and Jeff Hoffman are not in this trade. He was wrong. There was another one who said, well, this guy's moving in this trade. He was wrong. So, you know, there was a Drew Hutchison is in this trade. He was wrong. So it's very, very wise to remember what we're talking about. And we're finding out that Cole Hamels hasn't gotten on the team bus yet. Chances are, when it gets this big, it's happening. But when the information trickles out, you got to keep an eye on it, or at least you got to look at it with a grain of salt as far as the packages are concerned until everything finally comes out. Blue Jays talk will continue on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, right up to the top of the hour. So if you're on hold, stay on hold. If you're not on hold, get on hold. Blue Jays cube the Phillies 8-2. It's the Honda postgame show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Back here at Rogers Center, the Blue Jays 8 and the Phillies 2. Troy Tulowitzki, homers in the third, doubles in the fifth, doubles in the sixth. He scores 3 runs and drives in 3 to back a terrific performance from R.A. Dickey, who didn't give up an earned run over 8 innings and picked up his 5th win. The Blue Jays are back at 500 at 51-51. They are 2 games behind the Minnesota Twins for the second wild card spot in the American League. At the moment, 7.5 back of the Yankees for first place in the AL East. And at the moment, the Yankees are trailing the Texas Rangers 4-2 in the bottom of the seventh. It appears as though the Texas Rangers have acquired Cole Hamels from the Philadelphia Phillies. It appears as though the New York Mets have acquired Carlos Gomez from the Milwaukee Brewers. The Blue Jays and Kansas City Royals open up a series tomorrow night right here. We're on the air at 7 o'clock Eastern. For a 7:07 first pitch, Marco Estrada against Danny Duffy. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. For Jerry Howarth, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Derek Brandeo, Mark Boffo, I'm Mike Wilner. Good night from Rogers Center. 1-1 pitch. Hit hard and through that shift for a base hit. In to score is Tulowitzki. And the Blue Jays lead it 3-0. The Blue Jays would go out to a 7-0 lead before the Philadelphia Phillies wound up scoring a run in the seventh on a throwing error by Russell Martin. The Jays went on to an 8-2 win over the Philadelphia Phillies in Troy Tulowitzki's debut. Two doubles and a homer, three runs scored, and three RBIs. He is the only Blue Jay to, or the first Blue Jay with three extra base hits in his Jays debut since J.Pierre and Sebia. We don't really have to dwell on that, though. Lots of trades happening tonight. So far, none involving your Toronto Blue Jays, who are still out there looking for starting pitching. The non-waiver trade deadline is 66 and a half hours away. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Jays Talk. 416-870-0590. *590. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Eddie is in Fort Erie. Hey, Eddie. Hello, Eddie.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
All right, thank you.
Hey, before I get to my comment, I just want to say, don't you just love the trading deadline when it comes? You know, it just gets you excited as a baseball fan, you know?
Well, when your team is a buyer, it absolutely does. That's for sure.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I want to take a break from talking about all the possible trades and that sort of thing because the Tulowitzki debut caught my eye tonight. He was pretty good. He really was.
Pretty good. That's your assessment. He was pretty good.
Well, I'm going to add to that.
What would he have to do to be better than pretty good?
Oh no! Wait! Nothing. I just had a thought that, you know what, he just has the ability to, you know, do something big, you know, like no matter what. And I thought, you know what, he might even do that tonight. And you know what, he did. And I had a thought about him in the leadoff spot tonight. I mean, up until tonight, he didn't have his best average in the leadoff spot. So
let off a game until tonight.
Yeah, exactly. He was like over five.
No, he had never let off a game until tonight. Never.
Okay. Now, I thought, do you think that they'll keep him in a leadoff spot in order to have the other team throw more fastballs to Josh Donaldson? Because, you always say you can have your best lineup. Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be somebody who can get on base or steal bases and that sort of thing as long as
It does have to be somebody who can get on base. That's what you want more than anything else out of your leadoff hitter. For me, you know what? If Devin Travis is going on the disabled list and we don't know whether he will or not, he doesn't know whether he will or not, I think it's likelier than not that he will, but we haven't been told anything yet. I don't have a problem at all with going with a top four of Tulowitzki, Donaldson, Bautista, and Encarnacion. I mean, these are your four best hitters. You might as well throw them up there. Go start bludgeoning people right away.
All right, Mike. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Sure. I mean, a worse scenario is to put a lesser hitter up at the top just so you can say you're not hitting one of these guys leadoff. But there is no big time on base guy in the bottom of that order that should hit in front of these people if Devin Travis isn't available. Michael's in Markham. Hey, Michael.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'll just share my opinions with you and the audience. I know you'll probably disagree with them, but...
Well, if your opinions are based on fact, then I won't disagree with
them. Well, I understand the beauty of having the best third baseman and the best shortstop in the game and, you know, maybe the best right fielder, what have you. But I look at, you know, the Cardinals, who are the best team in baseball, and team who won the World Series last year, and I don't really know if they had anybody that I would consider to be the best at their position. And, you know, like, I think it's a little late in the game to try and get pitching now. I think that I was listening to the station Up the Dial today, and they had a guy on who was a GM, I forget his name, and he said, you know, the pitching's been an issue since October, and like to try and address it now, it's a little bit late in the game. And you know, that was a great trade for Donaldson. He upgraded on third base, he upgraded our shortstop, he upgraded our catcher with Martin. But those really weren't areas that were problems for us. And I know people say, well, hey, you know, you got a chance to make your team better, but I'm not interested in making the team better. I'm interested in, you know, winning the World Series. And those are two different things, I think.
Well, I think that you have to do A to get to B. Don't you?
I understand that, but I think, you know, all of us who know baseball know that pitching is really important. And, yeah, there might be an example of a team that's won the World Series without pitching, but that's few and far between.
Yeah,
and I think
it's happened twice in the last 22 years. But you're right, it hasn't happened a lot.
And I think that, you know, like, as great of deals as those were, you know, I would have preferred if, you know, Alex was spending his time and the team's money trying to acquire pitching. And I heard you list those 11 young pitchers, and, you know, like, you know, what happened to, you know, Romero and Morrow and Markham and McGowan and, you know, all those other guys, you know, that were supposed to be the up-and-coming group, you know,
yep,
7 or 8 years ago. I think this team needs to spend some money, get a legitimate closer instead of trying to hope some guy grows into the job.
I don't know how anybody can complain about what Roberto Osuna has done as a closer this year.
Well, yeah, well, how do you know he's going to do that next year? And on the other
thing,
how do you
know anybody's going to do it next year?
I think they should, you know, try and, you know, I don't know, I'm just frustrated that another year, and I don't even think ownership is going to allow Alex to go out for a rental player. I think they probably okayed the Tulowitzki deal because that's got a upside down the road, but in terms of getting Price or, you know, whomever else, I just think that's pie in the sky for us now. I think we are what we are between now and the end of the year. I wish the team luck, but...
Okay, but you would have said that Sunday too, right? They're not going to bring in Troy Tulowitzki. They're not going to add $50 million to the payroll between now and 2020. You just admit that you absolutely would have said that Sunday night too.
Well, the consensus is that this was not a deadline deal, that this was a deal that would have been done on Christmas Day or...
Yeah, they would have liked to have done it then,
yeah,
for sure.
So this is not necessarily what I would consider a deadline deal. As far as I'm concerned...
But I mean, that's you're getting caught up in your semantics and in your frustration.
Well, you're the one who said that you'd make this deal on Labor Day or...
They would have loved to have made it. Yeah, they would have loved to have made it then, but they made it on July 27th, so it's a deadline deal.
You were telling us yesterday, don't view it as a deadline
no,
deal.
No, I so never said that, because that would just be silly. This is a deal that was made 3 days before the trade deadline.
This is a deadline deal.
But let's not get caught up in that. Look.
I think this was a deal that was on the table.
I don't want to argue about this.
This deal was discussed a long time ago.
Michael, stop.
But
I want to ask
even Alex admitted that he was in negotiations.
All right, you're not going to stop. I'll see you later. Thank you. Would have loved to have had a conversation. So I'll just have a conversation with the air right now. For the life of me, I can't understand why anyone would say it's too late in the game to add pitching. And if the other, you know, if there's a former Major League general manager up the dial who said that, well, that's why he's a former general manager. Because that is galactically stupid. You're two games out of a playoff spot with 60 games to go. Yeah, too late. Don't add any pitching. That guy was actually employed in Major League Baseball, assuming that's what he said. Barry is, and that's, by the way, that's why you should listen to this station. Barry is in Mississauga. You're up next on Jay's Talk.
Hi. You're making me laugh. You're being a little bit hard on that guy, but...
Seriously?
I was being hard on the GM. Really. I have a few questions and a few comments, please. First, I'm... totally on your RA, Dickie. It's not a bandwagon. I totally agree. 5-10 is not representative of the kind of season that man has thrown for us. He hasn't had run support, and he's gone up against everybody else's aces. He's had quality start after quality start. The fact that he's 5-10 is unfortunate. A couple other comments. I know you touched last night on the possibility of playing a game under protest. A couple of years ago, everybody in baseball got together and decided we're going to have video review.
Yes.
And a play like last night, in all their consummate authority, a play that happened last night, they never saw that coming? That's unreviewable, is it?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
How could something that simple be unreviewable?
I don't know. Because, look, there's a list. There's a list, and I'm looking at right now. There is a list of reviewable plays that managers are allowed to challenge, and here they are. Force plays, excluding neighborhood plays and tag-ups on fly balls. So if you think a guy left a base early, that's not reviewable. Tag plays are reviewable. Fair foul plays in the outfield only, at or behind the umpire. And what the Ryan Howard thing was yesterday was a fair foul play on the infield.
Okay.
Catch or no catch in the outfield only. Batter hit by pitch. Ground rule doubles. Fan interference. Stadium boundary plays. Touching a base. And that requires an appeal before a challenge. So a team has to appeal it. The appeal has to be denied, and then they can challenge. Passing runners and timing plays, which I don't – I mean, that's kind of vague. But those are the only
the
things.
Timing,
anything not on
plays,
that list.
You're talking about double plays trying to be turned at second base.
No, that's a neighborhood play.
No?
That's not a timing play.
Okay.
Those are the only things that can be challenged. Anything that's not on that list is not reviewable. Why they've done it that way, I have zero clue. But hopefully after the embarrassment of last night, that will change.
And a near embarrassment tonight with that mishandled ball at second base. He clearly didn't have the ball. As soon as I saw that,
but there's nothing embarrassing about that. They reviewed it. They got it right. There's nothing. That's the way it's supposed to work perfectly there.
That's the part about it that I like. So many incorrect calls are being corrected, and that makes me feel good. But one like last night that gets missed. Anyways, enough. That's over. That was done. Totally agree with the trade. We have potentially three of the best infielders. Martin and Donaldson and this guy at short. Come on. We have like three rock solid of the nine positions. I think the pitching that we have right now, if Dickey gets some run support, I think is good enough to take us. Unfortunate about Stroman, we don't need to beat that. Dickey gets a little more run support, I think we're good to go. Do you think they need anything else?
I think they could use a couple of starting pitchers.
You think so still?
Yeah. I would like them to be better than, well, they don't have a fifth starter right now. Like, there's nobody. They got rid of Felix Dubront this morning. So there's nobody in the fifth starter spot, so they absolutely need a starting pitcher there. And I would love to see them improve on Drew Hutchison. Now, that said, Drew Hutchison's next three starts are at home. So if he keeps up this weird split, he's got a nice little run in him. But, yeah, I think they could use a couple of starting pitchers.
Most bizarre thing, they have to transplant Rogers Center into his brain and make him think he's somewhere else when he goes on the road.
Well, no, it's just something that's really weird this year. It's never affected him like this before. So,
Just a couple questions, not to put you on the spot, predictions. How many of these last 60 do we need to win?
I have no idea. However many it takes to get into the playoffs.
I think
more than 30.
More than 30, definitely. 35 and 25 will do it?
Who knows?
I hope so.
Okay.
I really hope so. I am telling you, given the amount of activity in Major League Baseball tonight, the fact that you still have a show and took the time to take this call, I'm honored. Thanks to your producers and everybody else over there. You guys do a great job.
Thank you. Appreciate the call. Very nice of you to say. I don't know what the – I mean, of course I'm going to have a show. I have a show after every game. I don't really know what that has to do with anything. The Cole Hamels deal apparently has come down. It is a 6-for-2 trade plus cash. You're not going to be familiar with a lot of these names, but Cole Hamels and Jake Diekman, a couple of pitchers, and cash go from Philadelphia to Texas in exchange for Matt Harrison, the big league lefty who's got the back and the neck problem. They thought for a while he might never pitch again. And then some top prospects, Alec Asher, Jared Eichhoff, Nick Williams, Jorge Alfaro, and Jake Thompson. So congratulations to the Texas Rangers and Evan Grant of the, I believe, the Dallas Morning News. Yep, Dallas Morning News. Had that thing, so congratulations. And apparently it's being reported, too, that the Phillies thought they were going to trade him to the Astros, but Hamels had the no trade and said no thank you. He didn't have a no trade to the Rangers, and there we go. The Blue Jays next play the Texas Rangers August 25th to the 27th, and maybe they will run into Cole Hamels there. We shall see about that. Blue Jays beat the Philadelphia Phillies 8-2 today. They next play the Kansas City Royals, who are in for four, starting tomorrow night with Marco Estrada against Danny Duffy. And in case you did miss it, Felix Dubront was designated for assignment today to make room for Troy Tulowitzki on the roster. and that means Blue Jays don't have a fifth starter at the moment. One would assume that they are very confident that they're going to make a trade for one before Friday night's deadline. You never know, of course. And if not, maybe Daniel Norris gets that start. Ryan in Toronto, you're up next on Jays Talk. Welcome aboard.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
Tonight, obviously, as a Jays fan, it was awesome to watch with Zawiski added to the lineup. It's an absolutely ridiculous lineup to watch, even with a couple of guys out. And my question to you is, as a guy who's watched a lot of baseball games over a lot of years, without the injuries, you put Devin Travis back in it, you put Edwin back in this lineup. Where would you place this lineup sort of in comparison to other offenses historically over, say, the last 20, 25 years? Because, I mean, I haven't watched as much baseball as you, but I don't know, you know, even back to the days when the Jays were perennial contenders, I've ever watched a lineup as good as this one.
I don't know that I have either. I mean, the New York Yankees had some really, really good offenses in the late 90s and the early part of the 20th century. But I don't know that any of them were. I mean, the year they won, I think it was a year they were 125-50, playoffs included. I don't think they had, I think they had like one player with 20 homers, or they didn't have anybody with 30 or something like that. I don't know that when this, if this offense is healthy, and I'm not even including Michael Saunders in it, Michael Saunders would be a tremendous addition, but he may not play at all this year. Hopefully they get him back for September. I don't know that I've ever seen an offense like this. People talk about Wamco, and we do love that 1993 team. And you had, you know, Ricky Henderson, Roberto Alomar, Paul Molitor, John Olerud. You had the top three finishers in the batting race and Ricky Henderson and Joe Carter and Devon White. This one's better. This group is better. Donaldson, Bautista, Encarnacion, Tulowitzki. It's better, and it's kind of amazing to say that. But this is I said it in spring training that it's an historically good offense, and that was before it had Troy Tulowitzki and before we knew what Devin Travis was. And I don't know if we know what Devin Travis is yet, but he's certainly been fantastic. It's just such a pleasure to watch.
Yeah, it's awesome to watch the rest of the year.
Thanks, appreciate the call, Ryan. Blue Jays won it 8-2. Matching their high watermark since the All-Star break for runs scored. 8 is the top. They scored double digits in runs 14 times before the All-Star break. Let's go out to Fort McMurray. Mel, welcome aboard.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
All right, go ahead.
Good.
Oh, Mel. We lost your cell phone, I think. I think we lost. I don't hear Mel at all right now. So we'll see if we can get that fixed. Mel, call us back. And we will move on to Nick in Toronto. Hey, Nick.
Hey, how are you doing?
All right.
Good. I just wanted to talk about the trade, but first, how about the Mets leaving Wilmer Flores out there crying in the field?
I cannot believe that.
I don't understand the thinking, even if it's not a done deal. Just for
respect. I
got to
tell you,
kid.
Our fine assistant program director, Jason Rozon, is here with us, and he just showed me a tweet from the great Marley Rivera. Yeah. Of ESPN, and Terry Collins, the manager of the New York Mets, said, why would I have taken him out of the game? I've been in tears since in the third inning, and nobody's taken me out of a game.
Yeah.
It is kind of amazing, though, that the Brewers wouldn't demand that he comes out of the game, but nobody told Collins about the trade, and he didn't know why Flores was crying, apparently, so he didn't take him out of the
game. Did they know how Flores found out about it, that he was crying in the...
I'm assuming he found out about it from someone who was Pablo Sandovaling it up on his phone in the clubhouse during the game.
Anyways, I just wanted to talk about these potential price or short-term trades. My fear, and I'm sure Anthopoulos has the exact same issue, and this is why I'm not that worried, if you have to leverage one of your potential pitchers for next year in order to make that kind of a trade. And if you do that, the core of this offense is going to be here next year. This is a 2-year shot as far as I see it.
Right.
And so as much as I'd love to make the playoffs this year, if you go out and get Price and you have to give up Norris or, you know, God forbid, Sanchez or something in the process,
it's not happening.
You gut your starting lineup for no, next year, and you're in an even worse position than you were now. But that being said...
But I don't think that's true. I mean, I don't think it's unrecoverable. I just don't think it's worth it for the shot that the Blue Jays have.
Definitely not. But that being said, I mean, teams don't like giving up, you know, controllable, well-priced, good pitchers, which is what you need to get if you're not going to go out and get a rental. So I just, I don't know. And so if they can't do
but
it.
But you look at a guy like Andrew Cashner, he's got 1 year of control left, and apparently the San Diego Padres are willing to talk about him. The Cleveland Indians were willing to talk about Carlos Carrasco, but again, if the report from Bob Elliott was correct, and there's no reason to believe it wasn't, they weren't really willing to talk, because if you don't want Jeff Hoffman and Daniel Norris and Dalton Pompey, then you're just screwing around.
Yeah.
But Mike Fiers has 4 years left, too.
Yeah, he pitched a good game tonight.
So. Yeah, and so you are going to have to give up a lot of good stuff for that, but that's worth it. For David Price, as much as David Price gives you that legit ace, first of all, you can't be sure he's going to be the guy who pitches the wild card game if that's where you get.
And he's only pitching one in every 5 days for the next, what, 60? So.
Yeah, so he'd get 11 or 12 starts.
But so the question is then, what if they can't pull a deal off, which is there's a real possibility of that happening, and they literally don't have a fifth starter right now. Do you just have to go with some combination of Norris and Boyd and Copeland for the rest of the year?
No. First of all, there are always you can always make an August trade.
Yeah.
You know, it's not as easy to do, but you can always make an August trade, A. And two, if I feel very strongly that they're not going to be left standing when the music stops. That if they can't get, if they're in on David Price, and John Morosi is saying they're in on David Price, but lots of people say they're in on lots of people all the time, and they don't get him, they'll get somebody else. They'll get Ian Kennedy. They'll get Mike Leake. They'll get whoever. To be that fifth starter. I don't think they would have made the move they did without thinking very strongly that they'll get at least something. It might not be what they want, but it'll be at least something that's better than what Felix Dubron was.
Fingers crossed. I mean, hey, maybe Tulowitzki can pitch. He can do everything else, right?
Exactly. Thanks for the call. And by the way, the Buffalo Bisons had Jeff Francis pitch 7 shutout innings yesterday, so it's Francis's day on Sunday. I don't think he's in the plans for the Blue Jays to move into the rotation, but it is his day. Let's try again with Mel in Fort Mac. Hey, Mel.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Good. Welcome aboard.
Thank you for having me back and waiting for me. That's great.
No problem.
I'm not sure how much of that you got, but we're excited.
Didn't get
about,
a thing. Not a word.
Well, I tell you, we love you out here, Mike, in Fort McMurray, and this trade, just super exciting. I mean, this is the most exciting team I've been watching since the 80s, and this is the most excitement, and I think what a lot of people are forgetting, one, people got to get out and fill the stadium. Like, that stadium was full in the 90s when they were able to make all those deals and bring in the big pitchers, get some more, fill the seats, keep the stadium full for one. People in Toronto, we go out every year at least once. This year I'm going twice.
Cool.
For you know, 5 or 6 games. That's one point. And the other point is, you know what? Maybe we don't win the World Series this year, but wow, all these pitchers we're talking about as rentals, they're all free agents. So fill the seats, people. we can sign one of these guys in the offseason. What an exciting team that would be to put on the field in next April.
Yeah, that certainly would be. It would, absolutely. Thanks, Mel. We're up against the clock, so I got to let you go, but I appreciate it. Yeah, David Price is a free agent. Johnny Cueto is a free agent. Lots of good free agents. Next season, and this is not a very attractive place for starting pitchers, but you never know. A lot of money coming off the books, a lot of money going on the books. Russ Martin's getting a big raise. Josh Donaldson's getting a big raise. But you never know. I mean, the Blue Jays could well be in there swinging. They will not have to pay Mark Burley. They will not have to pay Marco Estrada. They will not have to pay Ricky Romero next year. We shall see. Let's sneak one more caller in before we go. Blue Jays beat the Phillies 8-2 tonight. Cam is in Toronto. Hey, Cam.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for taking the call.
Go ahead, sir.
All right, I just have a question. So I was just at the game. You know, Tulo had a great start, and except his strikeout in the first. Other than that, though, where is he going to be placed, do you think, in the lineup after this? If Travis isn't hurt, he comes back to lead off. You got, you know, Donaldson, you got Joey Batts, you got Edwin, you got Colabello, who's been solid all year for us. He's been pretty clutch. where does that leave him? You're not going to have a guy sitting, you know, sixth, seventh.
No, he definitely hits in the top five. There's no question about that. For me, when I was talking about it yesterday before Devin Travis got hurt, the idea that I had was that he hits fifth, that you go Travis, Donaldson, Bautista, Encarnacion, Tulowitzki, which is just, I mean, silly. But whatever combination you have them in is kind of silly. But you never know. I mean, it depends how long Travis is out. And if he's going on the DL, it's at least 2 weeks. Last time this happened to him, it was 6 weeks. And really hope it's not like that this time. But if he misses a while and Tulowitzki has a great month as a leadoff man and the Blue Jays win a bunch of ball games and they're in a playoff spot, I mean, they could be in a playoff spot by the end of the week, then he probably stays there. And he will probably lead off for this team for the next 3 years.
So if Travis is coming back, where do you think then? Like, you're not going to sneak him in up top?
No, I think he'd hit ninth.
Above Edwin? Or?
I think he'd hit ninth.
You think Travis hits nine or too low?
No, Travis.
Definitely not too low.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for the call.
Okay. Thank you. And you know, we'll see. We'll see. You never know what could happen. And I know people want definitive answers from me on those sorts of questions. But honestly, the answer is, I don't know. You don't know. None of us know. John Gibbons doesn't know. And so it's kind of fun to just sit back and wait and see. The Blue Jays are two games out of a playoff spot, despite the fact that they are only a 500 team right now. They beat the Philadelphia Phillies 8-2 tonight in the debut for Troy Tulowitzki. He went 3-for-5 with two doubles and a homer and drove in three and scored three. Tomorrow night, the Royals are here. We're on at 7, and we will see you then.